So we're going to now take quite a long look at ethics. Ethics are one of the foundation stones of our practice as a coach. It is how we orientate ourselves as a coach in terms of our best practice when working with clients, and it is a way that we get out of problems that we may be confronted with. It's a way that we find our way forward in tricky situations. Ethics are a set of guiding principles. In terms of this coaching training program, we ask all our training coaches to subscribe to a code of ethics, and we suggest you use ours. If only as a starting point, you can add to them, of course, and bring your own points of view into it. The ethics code is there also for us to use as a basis for a conversation with our coach supervisor, to whom we will go with ethical dilemmas that we find ourselves in. Some of the ethics are pretty straightforward. Some of them are fairly self-obvious. Some of them will be familiar to you in the course, perhaps, of other practices that you've been involved in. However, we're going to now quickly go through each of the ethics topics and just take a look overall at the implications of each one of those. So first of all, we have unlawful conduct. This really refers to the fact that as professional recovery coaches, we do not involve ourselves in unlawful, illegal conduct, either with our clients and, of course, with other situations that may in any way impact on our ability to act professionally as a coach. So unlawful conduct is something that we should be acutely aware of, something that we should make sure that we understand where a line is and how we may step over that line. Next, again, very self-evident, is the issue of sexual misconduct, i.e. the blurring of a boundary of a coaching relationship where the relationship starts to be, if you like, sexualized in some way, both in terms of thought and energy, and possibly that can lead over into actual behavioral misconduct. We take the view that coaches need to be extremely aware of these kinds of problems and issues and challenges and need to take appropriate action. So we would ask that you take special care, particularly when working with people with whom there may be some kind of attraction, to act ethically in respect to this and not become involved in any sexual misconduct. Next, there is fraud-related conduct. This is also partly, if you like, related to unlawful conduct. This is about not doing something that would constitute a misleading or fraudulent act in terms of your practice with your client or in terms of your practice with other practitioners, or indeed through providing information in service of your client that is actually on the edge or directly fraudulent. So we need to be sure that in terms of trying to assist our clients meet some of the needs that they may have, we do not step over a boundary where we become involved in fraud-related conduct. Next, there's the issue of exploitation of clients. And again, you will be familiar with this. As we all know, some people are very vulnerable. They are, particularly if they've come to us or we are working with them in stages of their life where they're looking for change, where their circumstances may be challenging, it is entirely possible that they are vulnerable to exploitation. We need to be extremely vigilant about our boundaries and make sure that we do not even subtly, if you like, enter into some kind of exploitative relationship with our clients in any way. Maintenance of professional standards. So what does that mean? That means essentially that we conduct ourselves in a professional manner, that we make sure that we stick to our procedures and policies that we have decided to enact within our recovery coaching relationship. And some of those are best practices laid down in our training programs. For instance, providing a copy of the ethics code to our clients, making sure that they understand that if they want to make a complaint about our conduct as coaches, this is how you do it. This is who you contact. Making sure that we are transparent, making sure that we are very clear about whether we're charging them money or not, what the boundaries of the relationship are, and making sure that we communicate to them that we are attempting to conduct ourselves to the highest professional standards. Then we have safety and welfare. This really comes through to the idea that we need to make sure that we as practicing coaches are looking after both our own safety and our own welfare and the safety and welfare of our clients within the context of your coaching relationship. So we want to make sure that we are keeping ourselves safe, that we are staying healthy ourselves, that we are looking after our own welfare, and we also need to make sure that are within the context of our relationship, there aren't safety and welfare issues occurring for our clients. Record keeping, again, this is another fairly self-evident piece of ethics. We need to make sure that we conduct record keeping within the prescribed limits that are set down for us within the organization we're working in or within the relationship we've designed with our clients. So we need to make sure that we are open and transparent about that process, design it consciously with our clients where appropriate. Next, assisting unqualified and or unlicensed practice. This really talks about our relationship with other referral resources. We would like to say that we do not mislead our clients or infer to them that somebody that we might be introducing them to or that we might be offering them to a referral to is indeed licensed to supply the service for which we are referring them. So, for instance, if somebody requires a therapist and wants to go and get some therapeutic services, we would be wanting to make sure that we were referring our clients to a therapist who was indeed licensed to practice as a therapist. Confidentiality, trust is crucial. Our clients need to understand what the boundaries are around confidentiality. Broadly speaking, as we've talked about previously, confidentiality remains 100% with our clients inside the sessions. The exceptions to that are prescribed by the local laws within which you practice, and of course would be a disclosure requirement if your client appeared to be a harm or risk to themselves or to other people, or there were issues around minors involved, you know, children, within the context of the behaviors and lifestyle of your client, such as they were disclosing it to you. So if they're telling you about things which are going on that may be red flags around disclosure, then you need to be able to understand when that happens, what you do next. It is important that we design this confidentiality and what the disclosure requirements are with our clients when we are setting up our coaching relationship. Last, cooperation with investigations. Sometimes clients do want to complain about the coaching they've received, and it is why we have a code of ethics and it is why we have a procedure available for clients to engage with so that they may find a way to complain about you or complain about somebody else that you've referred them to, for instance. What we agree in the ethics code is that we will cooperate with any investigation that results from a complaint made against us or one of our associates and with whom we are involved. So we make sure that we cooperate with that investigation, supply relevant information, and are transparent in giving our record of those events. So those are the ethics headings. They are an important part of our practice. It is crucial that we understand how they fit into our practice. They help us in many ways because it gives us some frameworks to work from. We hope that you will put sufficient time and attention on ethics and make sure that you understand them. I'd like to ask you as part of this post course, because there are some questions in the multiple choice questionnaire, to read the full ethics code, which is available for a download on this page.